I think maybe it would be good tonight that we could turn over to the book of Revelation and read a little bit in the book of Revelation. Turn over with me to the book of Revelation. Most of you are familiar with the scriptures here where we're fixing to read. Want to read right here? You're familiar, most of you are, with the scripture. But we want to read again tonight from the book of Revelation in the 13th chapter. Now I hope you've got your charts drawn already, or at least somewhat drawn to where we can kind of work from the charts. Now then, it said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his hands as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies and powers was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's reading all of the 13th chapter of Revelation. And I want to take my time tonight and teach a little slower, so I want you to concentrate. And I do want to say that I really appreciate the way that you people have tried to concentrate while we were preaching the Word of God. Yeah, I think you've just done wonderfully, and I hope that you'll continue to do that. I hope that by the help of the Lord that you won't take what I'm saying and then get careless on me and start not paying attention. So I trust that you'll continue to pay attention like you've been doing, because you've been doing wonderfully. Now then, notice here tonight as we begin to get into our subject, we'll start back over here way back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And in case you don't know what that was, we'll just try to give you just a real quick run on Bible history to bring you up to date. You remember Adam fell from the garden, and then it came down through the flood, and right on down through the flood it came, and as it came on down, then bypassing the flood, Abraham went into Egypt, and after he went into Egypt, then after that they had the Egyptian experience there, you remember Joseph's famine, and then coming on down from the famine, you remember how that They fell into bondage, and Moses came and led them out of the hard bondage, and then into the wilderness, and then across the Red Sea into Canaan. And then David set up his throne, and after David set up his throne, then there came along Solomon, and the throne was set up of Solomon. And then, after Solomon died, the temple was built in Solomon's day. And then, after Solomon died, then there came Solomon's son, Rehoboam, I believe it was. Is that right, brother? Rehoboam came along, he took the throne, and he counseled with the young men instead of the aged men. The Bible said that wisdom is with the ancient, they who are full of age, by reasoning, they have their understanding exercised to be able to be discerned between good and evil, and the meek is for the strong. So then strength is with the young man, but wisdom is with the ancient. Now, not in all cases, wisdom is not always with the ancient, but as a rule, it is with the ancient people. Now, life experience. So then Solomon in his day, he turned it over to Rehoboam, and he counseled with the young men instead of the elders. And when he did, the Bible said that they advised him to be very hard on the people. And the people came to him, Brother Miller, and you remember how they asked? They said, be just a little easier on us, and because your father Solomon was very strict, very hard on us. But he counseled with the young men, and they told him, they said, now, you just tell them that you're going to be harder than your dad ever was. So he did. And he told them he's going to be extremely hard on them. And so immediately 10 tribes of Israel rebelled against Rehoboam and left 2 tribes with Rehoboam. Now the other 10 went their way. God works everything after the counsel of his own will, and separating these 2 tribes from the other 10 tribes, God was trying to show some great thing that's in spiritual revelation. See, everything all the way down from the beginning of the world, or as time there was, then God has worked everything after the counsel of his own will. We can't do anything, folks, except just fall right into the plan of Almighty God. I said this a lot of times, that every living creature on earth serves God. Now, a lot of people might take the attitude, well, I don't serve God. You can serve God if you want to. You don't have to serve God if you don't want to. But every living creature on this earth serves God. Now, you either serve God, and you do it willingly, and receive a reward of God, or either you serve God in the way that he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and you have to serve him anyway. In other words, it's just like the law out here. You either serve the law one way or another. You serve the law in liberty, and the law becomes your friend and your help, or either if you transgress it, you serve the law on the chain gang or in the penitentiary. So it is with God. You either serve God in liberty and in life, or either God just uses you as brute beef after fulfill types and shadows in your life. It's not your own. You're bought with a price. So you serve God any way you go. There's no way to escape God. David said, if I go into heaven, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. If I take the wings of the morning and go to the uttermost parts of the earth, David said, he's still there. So you see, there is nothing that we can do except serve God. Now, the thing to do is to serve God and get a reward for it. Listen real good so I can take my time tonight and keep your mind right in the spiritual channel so we can get something out of it. So then, when Rehoboam took over, the kingdom was split, and God allowed Nebuchadnezzar, coming up from Babylon, which is a beautiful picture of Revelation concerning the later day, if you could just see it. But Nebuchadnezzar came up from Babylon, and he took into captivity the 10 tribes of Israel, and then he took into the captivity the 2 tribes of Judah. He took them down back into captivity, and he kept them in bondage for 70 years. They stayed back for 70 years, and then you remember how in Daniel the other night, we told how that God visited Daniel, and how in that hour that Nehemiah noticed the falling down walls of Jerusalem, and the king gave him permission to build them back. And then we go on, and from there we notice that Jesus came. But anyway, I want to take up right now down in Babylon. I was just trying to bring you up to it. But in Babylon, you notice that King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. One of them down there, one of the great kings, had a dream. And after he dreamed the dream, he forgot what the dream was. And so he called the astrologers and the soothsayers and all the men of the kingdom, and he told them to tell him his dream. And they said, we can't tell you the dream. And so it was, Daniel came, and Daniel told him the dream, and he got a great name of prestige. And so he shared the dream, one of the dreams that he had. He said that he saw a great image, and the image grew and grew until it was a great image. But he said he watched it after it grew into a great image. And the image had a head of gold. It had arms and chest of silver. It had a thighs of brass. And it had legs and toes of iron and clay. Now he saw this, and God, working in types and shadows, was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar to show Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen to the kingdom. And Daniel began to interpret it. And Daniel told him, he said, first of all, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, this great image was thine, and you beheld until a stone was hewed out of the mountain without hand. And it came, you heard the little song, it came rolling down through Babylon, carrying down the kingdom of the world. So it smote it in its feet, and it grew till it filled all the earth. All right, now then, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, this first kingdom was your kingdom. It was a kingdom of gold. It was your kingdom, which was a great and mighty kingdom. And the first kingdom, he said, was your kingdom, which was gold. And he said, after this kingdom, he said, there came another kingdom, which was silver, which was inferior to your kingdom to some extent. Then, after that kingdom, he said, there came one even more inferior, which was brass. And that kingdom came along. Then he said, after this kingdom, there came another kingdom, which was iron, and it was mixed with clay. Now, he said, this first kingdom was your kingdom. It was your kingdom. Now, I don't know whether you consider today or not, but how many of you know what nation there is today that uses gold as a capital? How many of you understand what nation uses gold as a capital? There is a kingdom in the world today that uses gold as a capital. If you'll keep up with me tonight now, we'll try to explain as best we can. Now then, he said, this is your kingdom right here. But he said, your kingdom is going to be divided up. And said, when your kingdom is divided, then we'll come in the silver kingdom. Then we'll come in the brass kingdom. Then we'll come in the iron, the clay kingdom. Now then, this first kingdom was Nebuchadnezzar, which was somewhere around 500 B.C. or back in that time. Somewhere down there. We could have checked it out real close, but we're just giving you some idea of when it took place. So then it was about 500 B.C. or in that time that this great kingdom was in power. Now, the Israelites have been under Egyptian bondage for about 80 years. Now, what? This kingdom right here, which was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Daniel told him, said, this kingdom is going to be torn down. He said it's the head of all the kingdoms, and it rules over all the world, just like the United States does. So then he told him, he said, this kingdom is going to be torn down. And so after this kingdom, there's going to come in another kingdom, and it's going to take over. Now, this kingdom that come in, we want to tie these things together as best we can. This kingdom here was illustrated when the angel showed Daniel a vision. And Nebuchadnezzar saw this vision, but God gave Daniel a vision, and he told Daniel, he said, Daniel, now notice this real good. I got some little drawings up here that's just a little bit hard to see. But he told him, he said, Daniel, he began to show him a vision. I said, I want to show you how to find the people in the latter days. And so it is that tying these together, you can see here what took place. Daniel was in a vision. And the Bible said while he was seeing a vision, he said he looked and up out of the water came a ram. Now notice this, up out of the water came a ram. And he said the ram had two horns and one was higher than the other. Now notice this, he said that this ram came up, and I can't go into real minor details tonight, I just got to hit the high places. But he said that this ram come up out of the water and said it was rude. It pushed southward, and I believe he said push westward. But anyway, it was ruined, this kingdom right here. Now then, this ram right here, He said, after that it got power, he said he looked and up out of the water came another, but it was a he-goat. And said it came up with one notable horn between its eyes, and said it was very fierce. And said with all of its power, it run into this ram, and it tore the ram down. Now this ram was powerful, and he was ruling and pushing southward, I believe, and westward, and he was really ruling. He had real authority and real power. But when this kingdom came up, this kingdom could not survive the power by which this kingdom attacked it. So then, notice here that the gold kingdom was overthrown, and this kingdom right here, which is the ram, it came up, which is the silver kingdom right here. Now, Daniel said, thy kingdom shall be divided between the Medes and the Persians. So then, the Medes and the Persians came in the second kingdom, which is shown here by this ram. Now, it came in, the Medes and the Persians came in and took over the kingdom. And the kingdom, as it took over the kingdom, it was right after the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And that kingdom stayed in power until this kingdom right here. Remember, it was divided between the Medes and the Persians. Then that kingdom stayed in power until this kingdom arose. Bible said Daniel saw these come up out of the river. And this great kingdom here arose. And Daniel said he saw this great kingdom. How that kingdom came up? And when this kingdom came up, it overthrew this kingdom right here. Now then, this kingdom come up, the Bible said that it come up, and it was very strong, it was very powerful, and this kingdom right here was Alexander the Great, who came in there, the Grecian kingdom, that came in there with great power, and nobody could stand against him. He was one of the greatest warriors of his day, and I don't know whether you've ever considered or not, but every great move through the earth is not by the courage of a man, but it's because of a religion. They have a religion, and something gets a hold of them and causes them to be mighty conquerors. All down through the ages, if you'll check the great men, the men of courage and power, they were always conquerors because of a religious conviction. So then, Alexander the Great, this great Grecian warrior, he was a Hellenist. And he wanted to spread the Hellenic religion all across the country, and he did so. He was a great man. He brought this Grecian kingdom in, and it was so powerful that over in Alexandria, when this kingdom was set up, that they began to call some of the Jews Grecian Jews, and they began to worship God, built synagogues in Alexandria where he had showed kindness to them, and translated the Bible, the Septuagint. It was the second scroll, and they translated the Bible, and they started off with that Bible there that was in Greek, and it had to spread the religion all across the world. In fact, the King James Version, a version of the Bible, was taken partially from the Greek, and it runs back to the Greek. So then we see that this kingdom was a powerful kingdom. God loved Daniel, and he showed Daniel visions, and showed Daniel what he was planning to do. And after this kingdom right here, after this kingdom had taken place, it was so powerful that it just subdued all the kingdoms. But it wasn't long before the Bible said that Daniel looked and this notable horn that was between this he-goat's eye was broken, and four little horns came up from this one notable horn. Now, the first horn represented Alexander the Great. But history says that Alexander the Great took sick and died after ruling about 12 years. Now, this kingdom came in just about 335 B.C. It came in there sweeping across the Medes and the Persians' kingdom. So then the kingdom was overthrown. And after that, Alexander ruled. But then Alexander took sick and died. And out of his kingdom stood up four generals that spread themselves across the country and took control of the kingdoms. Now then, after that this kingdom took place, the four generals came along and spread themselves. Now, God gave Daniel another vision, and he showed him this vision right here. He showed him a vision of a leopard, showed him a vision of a bear, showed him a vision of a lion, and showed him a creature that was diverse from all the rest. something that Daniel could not explain. So then, he had this vision. After that he had this vision here, where he saw these great kingdoms take place, then he had this kingdom over here. Now, notice this vision over here. Notice that this vision is similar to this vision, just like this vision is similar to this vision. Now, notice this. Here you find that Daniel saw, he saw a lion, first of all, and the lion had eagle wings. And he said he watched the lion until the eagle wings was plucked, and there was given unto the lion a man's heart, and he stood up. Though he was a beast, he stood up like a man. Then he said he looked, and here come out the waters, right here, said here come out the waters of Bath, and said the bear had three ribs within his mouth. And then he looked again, and he said there came a leopard with four wings on his back. So if you'll notice, just like this one that here about the four horns, that here it still shows four powers because it was four wings. Before these things came out, he said after this he saw this beast, which was diverse from all the rest. Said this beast was so terrible that it had such power that it waxed great even under the host of heaven. And it trampled the stars under its feet. And it took control and spread itself throughout all the world. Now then, before Daniel saw these things, the Bible said that he was looking here at the waters, and four winds was striving over the waters. Four winds was striving over the waters, and from the four winds came these four powers right here. Four powers. Now you might say, well, why did God show Daniel beasts to represent powers? How many of you know that the people of this world are called brute beasts by God? When God speaks of them, they're brute beasts. When he numbers their kingdom or speaks of their power, he always shows it by beasts because that's what they are. They represent four kingdoms. So then here, wrestling over the waters, it was four winds. The waters represent people. Waters represent people. And these four winds here, one of these four powers that was struggling to get a hold of the people of God. The four winds, meaning powers, or doctrines, was struggling to get a hold of the people of God. And every one of them here is represented by these things that you see. Now then, I want to drop in a thought right here. Waters mean people. Waters mean people. When it speaks of the beast over here, over in Revelation, coming up out of the water, it means that it came up out of a great body of people. It means waters. So, I mean people. What does it mean, people? So then here, we see the vision of Daniel where he saw the waters, and we see the winds striving over the waters. Now, those four winds, today, to you and I, mean four great powers that's still wrestling over the waters. And those four powers, every one of them starts with a C. Every one of those four winds, or those four powers, starts with a C. Over in Revelation, it speaks of the angel going, holding back the winds, and telling them they could not blow upon anything on the earth till the servants of his God was sealed in their forehead. These four powers are represented by four seas, and I'd love to talk just a few minutes about them if the Lord will let us. It depends on your drawing and your interest tonight as to whether I can bring this out. Now then, the four winds right here represented by four C's, one of them is capitalism, one of them is communism, one of them is Christianism, and one of them is Catholicism. There's four great powers in the world today that's wrestling over the body of the people, trying to get control. One of them is the power of communism. Never before in the history of the world has any book outsold the Bible until the book of communism came on the scene. But Mark's book of communism is outselling the Bible. God has never allowed any book to outsell the Bible. Why? Because God was preeminent in the earth. But God is withdrawing from the earth now because he's finished with humanity. The Bible said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so then he's tired of working with man. He's tired of striving with man. And the word, which is God, is being lifted from the earth. And the next great power, which is a type of the Bible, comes in. That power is communism because the Bible teaches all things common. There must be an anti-type policy that will come in, which is communism. Now, we believe in all things common, but we believe that Jesus Christ is to be at the head of it, and it will work right then. But when you've got communism and you've got the Antichrist at the head of it, it's going to be a hard, hard way to go. Now, these great powers are wrestling over the water. I wonder how spiritual we can be tonight as we talk about these powers for just a few minutes. These four powers wrestling over the waters, communism, Catholicism, you know that Catholicism, which is the Catholic religion, is trying to get control of all the world. One time it ruled the world, and it's trying to get control of the world again. I think anybody could understand that capitalism has ruled the world with a rod of iron. If anybody's ever ruled the world, the United States has done pretty well like they wanted to. And another one of the powers is Christianism. And at one time, Christianism ruled the country when it was first raised up in the Jews. The Bible said salvation is of the Jews. And when they were first raised up, they ruled the country because God was with them. Then came the powers of Catholicism, and Catholicism began to rule the world. And then there came along capitalism, and capitalism began to rule the world. So it means there's one more power to take over and rule the world. And that's the power of communism. Now then, you say, Brother Pat, I thought the Catholics would take over the world. They will take over the world. But Satan is smart enough to know the power that's predestined for this age to rule the world. And to take over through a Catholic religion and to use the communist policy of all things common to antitype the plan of Almighty God. So then we see here that in these kingdoms right here, we'll say some more about the winds in just a few minutes, but in these kingdoms right here we see that it was divided between the Medes and the Persians, and then Alexander the Great came in with his kingdom, and after this kingdom, now there was about 400 years of darkness between the Old Testament and the New Testament. During this time there came in the Maccabees, and they took over. And then there came in, I guess it was about the year 277, there came in Antiochus, and he took over. And you remember how he defiled the temple and made everybody worship Jupiter. And he offered on the sacred altars of God such things as pigs and anything that he desired, and slew about 40,000 people and just desecrated the altars of God. But it wasn't too long after that. I guess it was about, it was just before 63 B.C. or somewhere in there, that this man, somewhere between this time and this time, that man took sick. And did you know that history states that that he got so rotten in his body that his body bred worms. His body bred worms because of what he did to the altars of God. I think if that would, if anything would put the fear of God in a person's heart, look like that would put the fear of God in a person's heart. He came in there and he done just like he wanted to. And you know, God doesn't stop you when you start doing what you want to. He just lets you go on to a bad end. And so it was, when he came to his end, he was in such critical shape that his very body bred worms. But then after that, now these kingdoms was not accounted for because they were not kingdoms that would rule the earth. There was not power that could really take control. But these kingdoms was powerful kingdoms. But after this 400 years of the Dark Age, along about 63 B.C., just before the 400 years of Dark Age ended when Jesus came, it was about 63 B.C., when this great creature here, this awful monster, arose and began to take control. It took control in the Dark Age, which was this kingdom right here. After this kingdom had finished its work, then this kingdom right here took over in about 63 B.C. And this kingdom was the Catholic kingdom that ruled and dominated the earth. Now then, by seeing the clay with it, you remember the other night we talked about the seals and how that the Catholic kingdom ruled the earth, how it came in after this other great kingdom of Alexander the Great, and it ruled the world, coming in about 63 B.C. I believe he had about 60,000 in his army. I'm not sure. I believe it was. But anyway, he came in there about 63 B.C. and he took over. And this kingdom was instigated, and the power of this kingdom ruled the world. America had not been born as a nation in that time. So this kingdom ruled and dominated the world. Now then, God allowed this kingdom to be mixed with clay. Iron breaketh into pieces all things, the Bible says. So then nothing could stand before this kingdom. This kingdom waxed so great that it reached up and took the host of heaven, cast the host of heaven to the earth, and trampled on the stars. Now then, if you can be spiritual, you can understand that God certainly doesn't mean that he's going up yonder somewhere and get up into the heavens, up yonder where the angels are. The way that he cast the stars down was when Satan, as we spoke of in the Bible, casted a third part of the stars down from heaven and trampled on them. But when it speaks of this kingdom, it speaks of the stars, which are the Christians in the church. And during the dark age, this power magnified itself not to a kingdom of natural power, but it became a religious power and decided that it would indulge in religion and take up the heavenly things. And so it was that it took over and magnified itself not only above every kingdom, but magnified itself above every religion that was in the world. It waxed so great that it took Peter, James, and Paul, and the stars of heaven, the true stars of heaven. How many of you believe they're stars? James said some of these are wandering stars, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. It took the Christian stars, and it cast, which was called the host of heaven, and it cast them down, and the martyr's blood began to run. It trampled them under their feet. It magnified itself even to the host of heaven, and cast some of the stars down. It took over. It was a powerful kingdom. Now then, this kingdom was mixed with clay, and here it shows us a great thing in the last day. This same kingdom will come back in its power, which is the power of Catholicism I spoke of concerning the winds, but at the same time, this time, it will mix itself with communism, which is clay. These two great kingdoms, the power of Catholicism and the power of clay, will try to come together, but you know the Bible says that clay and iron can't mix. We know that clay and iron don't mix. So then we see that this iron is the stronger kingdom that once dominated the world. How many of you know that religion is the strongest thing in the world? How many of you know that? You can control people with religion when you can't control them with anything else. They'll leave President Johnson, they'll leave the King of England, they'll leave the Queen, they'll leave anybody to fire after religion because they know there's a God somewhere. So then Satan knows how to take control of the world, and he does it through religion. He doesn't try to do it any other way. The other ways that you see, that's man's ways. But Satan's way is through religion because he appetites God and he knows how God rules the world. Alright, now, notice, how many of you remember not too long ago when they had this conference and Khrushchev came over to America and he sat there at the table? How many remember that? There in the White House or in the council, he sat there at the table. When they said something he didn't like, he just took his shoe off and he beat it on the table and demanded attention. How many remember that? Or how many of you know that Khrushchev's name means clay? How many of you know that? How many of you know that Khrushchev's name means clay? And how many of you remember Eisenhower was in power at that time and that Eisenhower's name means iron? So you see, they didn't mix. They didn't get along. Now then, but the thing is, when Kennedy came in, then he said he liked Kennedy. You remember that? He said, I like Kennedy. Why? Because Kennedy was lining up with him just right. But it won't mix. It won't mix. It didn't mix with him and Eisenhower came together. And Eisenhower was still a Catholic religion. It was just the Protestant phase of it, which is the image of the beast. It will show up just a little bit. But they did not mix, but they came together anyway. They came together to form a league that they might take over the world. Now listen, folks, real good to the things I'm saying, because tonight we haven't just got this drawn up here for a picture. We're not just standing up here for entertainment. We're not just telling this to have something preached tonight. But we're telling you what has happened down through the history of time and what is going to happen to you in the last days, and it's right here upon you. These things are going to come a reality, be more than just some drawings on the board, but these things are going to rule and dominate your life. And though this tonight is just a little drawing of it, yet remember, God is trying through the ministry to prepare your hearts for the greatest tribulation, for the greatest trial, and the greatest trouble that's ever been since time ever was. So then notice this now. These kingdoms, we see Nebuchadnezzar, the Medes and the Persians, Alexander the Great, and then we see coming on down to the Roman kingdom. It took over in 63 B.C., and how did it died over there in the days of the Dark Age when Martin Luther came out. How many know that the Catholic power died? First, it was pagan Rome. It was first pagan Rome. Now, let's just get a good thought here if we can. When the apostles over at Pentecost got the message, and this ought to be a warning to all of us, when they got the message, it was a pure, holy, righteous message. But they kept letting things creep into the church, until eventually the natural-minded people took over the church. And that religion became the religion of the kingdom. The only thing they did was they could not interpret spiritually, so they done away with oneness. And they came in after oneness was gone, they came in with Trinity, God blinding them because he knew what they would do. Now, they turned it into pagan Rome, and they killed the martyrs, their blood run, and everything happened to the Christian. They just tormented them. Some of the things that how many have you ever read the book of Josephus? Let me see your hand. Have you read any? It's Josephus. All right. The book of Josephus points out some of the things that they went through with. And then how many have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Let me see your hand. All right, Fox's Book of Martyrs was so powerful they used to chain it with the Bible. When the Bible was in, when they didn't have but a few copies, they used to chain it so the people wouldn't steal it. And Fox's Book of Martyrs was so powerful that they chained it with the Bible. And it's one of the most authentic books we've got. Josephus is another one of the authentic books that even the great historians of our day have to go back and check. How many of you know that the word history means his story? How many of you know that? Just a story somebody told and they call it history. It comes on down. All right, now then. Notice this, that the only true history is the Bible. Now, I studied some school history, and in every case, they have to go back to the Bible. There is no story concerning his story like the story of the Bible. There is no record like the record of the Bible. So then they're dependent on the Bible in everything that they do. The whole world rested upon the foundation of the Bible. But the thing that we want to point out, that when it turned from pagan Rome, it went into papal Rome. And the other night we was talking about how that in that time when they started, over there in about the third seal, I believe it was, that how they started the selling religion, and the Bible said a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine in the seals of the Bible there. And it was during the time of papal Rome when they began to try to find people out of purgatory and all that kind of thing. Now, if you'll notice this, you can see just how clever and smart Satan is. The Bible teaches that money is the god of this world. And if you'll notice, the Catholic religion wants the money. That's all they're interested in. They want the money. If you buy people out of purgatory, it doesn't make any difference how you give them your money or how they get your money. All they want is your money. You might say, well, Brother Pike, I'm just clever enough that I ain't going to mess with the religious, our religion of the Roman Empire and keep my money. But I'm going to show you something if you're listening just a little while, and you'll see that you're no match for the devil. Only Jesus Christ is a match for him. Amen. I've said this a lot of times. Satan, ever since the world begun, he said at every poker table, he said unto every servant, sometimes he missed going to church, but he doesn't. He said on every sermon of every individual that's ever preached. He said in every council of every wise man in this world. He stood before Solomon and heard his wisdom. And ever since the world begun, he has listened to every conversation, pro and con, and there is no being in all the universe as wise as he is. Now, but God doesn't have a knowledge. just from the beginning of the world. But he has the knowledge from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. And with the mind of Christ, we can defeat Satan. Otherwise, we are absolutely no match for such a superpower. And you'll see that power manifested in one man. He'll be a Superman of the earth. All right, I think maybe he'll be a Batman instead of a Superman. But anyway, notice this right here now. That this kingdom is to come back into power. And God showed it here by the iron and the clay. All right? Now, notice these four winds wrestling over the waters. We want to get into them, and then we're going to try to drive back to the kingdom. But notice these four winds wrestling over the waters. Now, let's be spiritual tonight and look at it right. Now, we're dealing with the beast tonight. That's what we're trying to talk about, is the beast. You can see that because the board is full of it here. Dealing with the beast. In the garden, when Adam and Eve was placed in the garden, how many of you really know what happened? We tried to illustrate it the other night, but in the garden, remember, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, then there was a beast that was placed in that garden. We spoke two or three nights of the different planes, of the spiritual plane, of the physical plane, and of the water world, which is the natural plane. And though we have thoroughly explained how Adam fell from one plane to another, one night we will, but though we haven't thoroughly explained it yet, we have hit from time to time upon that subject. Now then, notice this, that when God placed them there in the garden, Adam and Eve, before Adam ever came to Eve, now listen real close, the beast deceived Eve. Before Adam ever knew his wife, the beast deceived Eve. Satan, you heard us say the other night how he was cast out of heaven, worked his way back up through the beast, and trying to get himself an image in this world that he could live in and rule, he succeeded right there in the garden. Now, if you can see this and be spiritual tonight, you'll understand something. Let's not just look at it in the garden. In the garden, there wasn't but two people, and a beast, and an evil spirit called Satan, and a spirit called God. And that was just one or two people in the garden. But remember, today mass humanity covers the earth. And when you speak of that same incident, you can't speak of it of two or three people, but you got to speak of it on an international basis. Let's examine it on an international basis and then drop it down to a national basis and see just how it affects us today of what took place in the garden. Here are the four winds that's rattling over the waters. And we mention these four winds. Now then, four powers. I want you to tell me something here as we go to explain this. Now, these four winds represent Adam, Eve, the beast, and Satan. Now be spiritual and you can see it tonight. On an international basis, they represent Adam and Eve, they represent the beast, and they represent Satan. All right, you might say, well, Pop, you're beside yourself, but let's just see if it's true. All right, now then, we've got the west, the east, the north, and the south. Is that right? Okay. Now then, which one of these winds or powers that's rustling over the waters, the four seas, Catholicism, Christianism, communism, and capitalism, which one of these four seas here, we'll just jot this down, which one of the four seas represents Eve? Can you tell me? Which one of the four seas represents Eve? Can you tell me which one it is?
Capital Church.
That was a good try anyway. The four seas, one of them represents Eve, and that power that represents Eve is nothing less than the United States. That's right, she's a woman's nation. They started this nation with 13 stars on the flag, which is the number of a woman. That's why you see, oh, I know somebody's going to say, here he goes on the woman again, and that's right, I'm fixing to get started. So far, with 13 stars, it's a woman's nation. That's why we have so much trouble out with it, because it is a woman's nation. Now then, it doesn't mean the woman's man in that sense, because America is a type of the Canaan land. It's a type of the Canaan land, and since it's a type of the Canaan land, the church wants to inherit it, and the church is typed out by the woman. So then we have to have on the woman again. Now then, but at any rate, America represents the woman. Now, I'm not trying to beat you ladies to pieces. All I'm trying to tell you is that the church is the one that caused the trouble. Jesus did not cause the trouble, so that puts us men in good shape. Now that America represents Eve. America represents Eve. Now that if America represents Eve, then who represents Adam? Who is it that represents Adam? Now, America represents Eve. She was chosen to evangelize the world as far as spreading the gospel because God made America a spiritual Jew. Made it a spiritual Jew and called it a bride. He called it a woman. He called it a bride. Alright, then if America represents Eve, then Jerusalem must represent Adam. Now I want you to get a picture here tonight. I want you to be clean-minded and spiritual-minded. Adam is represented by Jerusalem. Then that only leaves two winds to represent Satan and the beast. Now then, notice that the Catholic Church, or Romanly, represents the beast. How many of you know that it's the beast? The Bible calls it the beast. All right, then the communism represents Satan. How many of you know the Bible speaks of the red dragon? The red dragon. Speaks of the red dragon, and tonight, that red dragon that's called communism in the natural aspect is crawling through the earth. How many of you know that? And if you could see it, that Jerusalem is a type of heaven, America is a type of earth, and Rome is the type of the place where Satan has set his kingdom between heaven and earth. Daniel said he would set his kingdom between heaven and earth, and spoke of setting it out in the middle of the waters and so forth, that I had to come to his end. But the thought tonight is that Jerusalem represents Adam, America represents Eve, and Rome represents the beast, and Russia or communism represents the red dragon, which is Satan, that old power of evil that's called Satan. And over across the waters, this country, separated by that country. Don't let your mind get fearful. That's disturbing to me. But I feel those demons. You get kind of worried like you're going to get way off out there and get drowned. There ain't nothing going to happen to you. I've been out there a lot of times. So then if God ain't going to let nothing happen to you. But remember, America is over here. And the foreign country and America is separated by the great body of the ocean. One of them is called the great God. The great God. Now then, if you have a spiritual, you can understand what I was saying. And see things on an international scale instead of just on a local scale. So then there is a great gulf, the Bible says. And it's represented by the ocean. Now then, listen real close. Over in that country, it's a type of heaven. I could go into it tonight if we just spiritual up and had the time and show you over in that country everything that you can show me in heaven. I can show you the stars in that country. I can show you the dragon where he's wrapping his tail around the stars. I can show you the wandering stars of darkness over there. I can show you the temple of God over there. All of those things I can show you tonight. We just had time to go into them. But the main thing is, I want you to remember the things of God is foolishness to somebody that thinks they know something when the Bible says they don't know something as they ought to know. God has chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. Those things that are not, to bring to naught those things that are. The Bible said that God has chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. So then we see these four powers here. Over there represents heaven. And I made the statement according to Revelation. I said that Antichrist will drop down. He'll just drop down just like Satan would coming down from heaven. He'll just drop down right over here into the earth. I said he'll do it around the year 66. He'll just drop right there in here just before Jesus Christ comes into the world, because his kingdom is between earth and Jerusalem, which represents the kingdom of Satan between earth and heaven. And sure enough, he did. He dropped down here and said he wanted to speak to the United Nations, and he made three stops. One of them was over in Jerusalem, one of them was over in Vietnam, and one of them was over here. And if he was spiritual tonight, you could see that those three stops represented heaven, hell, and the earth. In other words, he came into those three places. But notice this. This is what we want to get at tonight, because we got a long ways to go and it don't look like we're going to get there. But anyway, notice these four powers right here. All right. The Bible said they were rattling over the waters. These four great powers. Now notice this real close tonight. In the garden, the spirit of Satan, it came to Eve before Adam came, and the seed was planted there before Adam ever had a chance to bring forth his own image. And there was produced one by the name of Cain, and the Bible said that Cain is all that wicked one. Now, notice this real close. That these four men, the Jews, was ordained to preach the gospel to the world. Now, before Adam, which is the Jew, could ever bring the seed of God to America, before it could ever bring up a real spiritual child in the image of God, which would be a spiritual Jew, before it could ever get its power here, what happened? It came down through the dark age from Pentecost, as we said the other night, running it down by the corn of the harvest. It came down, and the first thing that got into America was Trinity, which was the power of Catholicism. It came through the beast. I wish we had time to go into it and show you the travail and the wound and everything. But it came down through the beast, and communism was inbred in that. It came down. What was it? It was a bastard child without a heavenly father. Here was one spiritual seed. Some of you keep your minds out of gutters. Here was one spiritual seed right here that was planted right here in the womb of America. Adam, he came. The spiritual seed finally came over here in the end of the world. We see right here a spiritual seed. It came. And there has come forth the Jesus name people. There is a Jesus name people having been born. And there is a bastard child that's been born without a heavenly father, which is a Trinitarian. And you say, Brother Pike, you better look out. I'm telling you just exactly what the Bible teaches. I know that's rough, and I know the pulpit loves to take my head off, and he may do it, and he may take yours off too before Jesus comes. But that's exactly what it is. A Trinitarian teaching is a doctrine of the devil. God allowed it to come through. But there are Trinitarian people who are really not Trinitarian, but they're mixed up in the world of Trinitarian, and they are oneness in their heart. One God, one faith, one baptism. You might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I was converted in a little Baptist church, whether you believe it or not, and you hear how I'm talking tonight. So then, here in America came these great powers. Communism working through the beast, Satan working through the beast, which is wrong, brought here as a seed before that Adam could ever bring the seed to Eve. And then when she went into a veil, she brought forth two children, and one of them is what? It's a Trinity, and one of them is what? It's a Jesus-named child. So then you can see what took place in the garden. Now, let's bring it down to a national scale. Let's just bring it down to America and see what happens. Notice, we're still using the four winds. There is the north. That, don't get offended tonight now if this happens to ring your number. There is the north. There is the south. There is the east. And there is the west. And notice this real close. Now, out of the deep south, where the jungles are, out of Africa, out of the hot places, where there's desert, where there's no water, the Bible speaks of the demons wandering through the dark places. The Negro people, or the native people, which has infiltrated our country with rock and roll, and all of the ungodly things that can be mentioned, out of the deep southern parts of the world, where the snakes are, where the beasts are, there comes forth the Negro, which is the type of Satan. Now get this tonight. He is a type of Satan. He comes forth, and what does he do? He has to go to the north. The north is the type of the brute beast. Now, he has to go to the north and work through the north to do what? That he might be able to go to the west, take the power in the west, because this is where the gold is, Eve is represented by the west. Satan is represented by the deep south. The beast is represented by the north. And the east, which is the ruling authority and power, represents Adam. All right, let's see if that's true. Martin Luther, what did he do? He went just as straight to the east as he could. Right over to the White House, didn't he? Right to the east. I saw pictures of it. I got books of it. I've got a book at home that's so filthy that I wouldn't even have it in my presence. And God's my witness. I wouldn't even have it in my presence if it wasn't for the fact that's in there. I can't even read the book. I just have to check here and there to get facts out of it. But on the streets of Alabama, it was the low-downest, meanest, unclean thing that ever took place. It shows pictures. It took places in the church. It took places on the street. And it wasn't just Negroes, but it was the brute beast of this world. And when I say that, it don't mean just Northerners. It's just represented by the North. It was some of the Southerners and some of the Eastern and Westerners, all of them mixed together, white men and women alike, all of them in there, marching with those Negroes. What is it? The Bible said that Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light and ministers of light. How does he do it? The Negro mixes with the white, and the white is the type of the church. Mixes with the white, and in a little while the brown genes are swallowed up and a white person is produced. Why? Because it's a type of transformation, Satan changing himself into an angel of light. So then we see, working through the north, he came to the west where the power of the gold is, and took control over here in the east. He's got control. I saw something not too long ago that showed me. I looked at a picture out on the front of a magazine. I noticed there was a casket. I noticed there was a Roman priest. And I noticed that Martin Luther King stood there with a wreath in his hand. And inside the casket laid a Protestant preacher, which was killed by trying to stand with him. Now, if you're not spiritual, you wouldn't understand what I see. But you know that history said that Ezekiel was so spiritual, that he was so perfect, it said in types and shadows, that he could walk up to a gate, look at an eagle on the gate, and preach a sermon from it, because he understood spiritual things, understood heavenly things. Now then, what I'm saying is that when I looked at this picture, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Son, this man represents the end of the Christian religion here in America. It represents the Protestant religion, and it shows that darkness had overcome this power, and the powers of Catholicism is taking over while gross darkness covers the earth. Trinity taking over and oneness going out." Okay, we could go into a lot tonight, but we just have to kind of stick with the subject. So then they came here to take over. Now this is beautiful if you can see it. They came here to take over. Right here. There was two or three other great powers that we won't have time to go into tonight, that symbolize the beast, the false prophet, and so forth. Every one of them went right to the east to try to take over. Now, but the good part is that the White House, being a type of the body of Jesus, that Brother William Burns' picture with the angel over his hand got to the White House and hangs in the Hall of Fame before any of the rest of them. What does it mean? It means the sign that appears in the heavens, Jesus Christ got into his church. That's why it's called the White House, and why it's in Washington, by the washing of regeneration, and we could go through it, but you just have to be spiritual and try to get a hold of it. But anyway, it shows us tonight how close the end of time is. Gross darkness is covering the earth. Now, notice, we said the other night that the sign of the Son of Man is appearing in heaven. That's a natural, physical, and spiritual. Billy Graham is leading the Protestants. His sign is appearing in the heavens among the movie stars. Out yonder, he's made movies out there right among the heavens. And the Pope. Pope is on television. He's the Antichrist of the natural people. He is appearing among the celebrities of the world. The sign appearing in the heavens. Every place, naturally, physically, and spiritually, the sign of the Son of Man is appearing in heaven. So then it means that we are in the end of the world. But what did these powers do to the church? Let's just look at it for a few more minutes. Notice that the Negro, working through the brute beast of this world, has in infiltrated the churches with a shout, a holler, a scream, a boogie-woogie organ, a honky-tonk piano, all of that kind of mess with pulling for offerings. It has come into the church and under the big tents. The Negroes have done it. Type it out, Satan. They've come in with all of those things. They formed a bastard child by working through the root beast. While the sons of God, being represented by the ministry, is producing a seed called a Jesus name Christian. They're producing Trinity with rock and roll and everything that's imaginable. They're coming in, but the same thing over in the jungle, just heap up the music and dance, shout, holler, and scream, and two children are being born, but one of them is a real Christian and one of them is just a bastard child. Why is it like that? Because the ministry is becoming so cheap in the day that we're living in. I want to say something else. I know that our time is I know that we've used up a lot of time here, but I wonder how many of you can be patient for just a little bit more. We're not then being stopped and go home and eat some chicken and wish you hadn't eaten so much, like Brother Miller did tonight. But anyway, Brother Miller understands. Now, anyway, here's the thing. This has caused bastard children to be born into the world. Now, how does it affect us? All of this has to do with these beasts right here. Notice now, these beasts here are the same beasts that Revelation speaks of, almost identically. Check the beasts that come up out of the waters, and you'll find out that Daniel's beast here was almost identically the same as he saw come up out of the waters. Now, we're not going to try to explain this part because we've taken so long on the other, because this is some of the things that I want to get in right here first. Notice this. How many of you can see this right here? Vicarius Filia Dei. Some of you already know it, some of you don't. But the number 666, the Bible says, would be the number of the name of the beast. Now then, the reason it's the number of its name is because in Rome, letters mean numbers. How many of you know that? Roman numerals. Letters mean numbers, and the Roman Pope is called Vicarius Filia Dei. This word means vicar of Christ or instead of Christ. That's what it means. When these letters are broken down, as you can see right here, if you've got them wrote down, broken down 1, 0, 500, 1, 150, 1, 0, 0, 5, 1, 0, 0, 100, 1, and 5. It's broken down and it totals up the number. I did not total it. But it totals up the number. You can total these numbers right here. Draw a line, total these numbers. Draw a line right here, total these numbers. Draw a line right here on the Vicarius and total these numbers. Put them all together and you'll come out with this number right here. 666. Because it is the number of his name. It is the number of the name of the Pope of Rome. He carries that number right now. He's already come to America to take over America. Already he's getting everything set up. Got the Roman calendar. And oh, so many other things that you'll never dream of. He's done, took care of everything. Look how easy he's lifted over on the people about taking the Bibles out of the schools. He kept pressing till he made you take your Protestant Bibles out of school. Why did he do that? Because it did not bother the people that's under his power. Because Catholic children don't go to Protestant schools. They have their Catholic Bible. If he can cause your children to be without the knowledge of God and educate his children in the knowledge, the perverted knowledge, then he can rule the world. You're not going to know where he's right or wrong. He's going to be the only religious power in the earth. That's how smart and cunning he is. All right, then notice this. Where did he get this number in the first place? Where did the number come from? Why did God tag him with the number 666? This is the reason he got it. One thing is that Satan has been loose in the earth for 6,000 years. Running loose in this world. Having power in the natural, he got a 6 here. Because of the 6,000 years having control of this world and of the Jew, which is the natural world. The next one was 3 scores. The Bible said it was 600 and 3 scores. Now then,
from a natural water world, taking control of the dew. But the next number was called 80, because it's the physical realms. And notice, isn't it strange, that when God spoke of a man having 70 years of lifetime, he did not say that he had 70 years, but he said he had 80 years, which means that God bases everything on the 6. Now get this thought tonight and you'll see what I mean. He got 6 from the 6,000 years. After the 6,000 years, on the 7th, it's retirement. It's retirement, which is the millennium. Alright, that's a natural realm. In the physical realm, he got 80, because Satan holds a man in the captivity during his lifetime 60 years. 60 years he holds him in the captivity. After that, the last 10 years of his life is a loom. A man has no power to stir Satan. He can't use him. He's getting too old. It's very abnormal for anybody over 60 years old to really be active and doing anything for Satan. First thing to remember, if you're a woman or a man, you're done getting wrinkled, you're done getting old. Nobody wants to hug and kiss you and dance with you. Nobody wants to fight it with you. Satan can't use you anymore. You're going into that state of like the seed we spoke of the other day. You done got ripe, and then you're withered up and ready to be planted over again. All right, notice then, 80, because he held the physical world in captivity for 60 years per generation. And after that, a man usually gets his retirement in life. You know, they have 50 years as the golden anniversary, which is the type of Pentecost. And then they have 60 years, a little beyond, which is retirement, because his last 10 years is considered the Sabbath, which is man's rest in the physical. And then about 35 years, the covenant of life is broken with man. 70 years in all. So about 35, Jesus was about 33 at death. About 35, the covenant's broken. He lives and grows in the youth and strength until he's about 35, and then he begins to go down the hill. Alright, where did he get his last 6? This was the natural. This was the physical, and this was the spiritual. Where did he get his last 6? Because he holds the Christian people in captivity 6 days out of every 7. Holds them in captivity, causes them to labor down in Egypt, making bricks. Cause them to be under bondage to the natural, labor 6 days for the natural, and he's king of the natural. The Bible said he prince of this world, and he loveth the things of this world. But on the 7th day, they're able to pull away and have a Sabbath. So then naturally, physically, and spiritually, he is the prince of this world, and he got tagged with the number 6, 3, 6. The Bible said it's the number of his name, because Christ was the one that was supposed to be king of those realms. And in truth, he really is. The Bible said the world and the fullness thereof is God, and someday the angel will declare that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom by God. Amen. So then he's just an antichrist with an anti-religion, with an anti-power called communism, or policy, anti-policy, and he's taken all of the world. He's taken all of the world. Why? Because God has to project his attributes by having a contrast. We went into that the other night. After it's all over, he'll destroy him with the brightness of the coming, which is the spiritual revelation coming under judgment. And remember this, let me say this right here. I said last night that this is the judgment. This is the judgment. You might not believe it, but it's still the judgment. It's not the judgment of the world. It will be the judgment upon the world. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. The saints will never come into the judgment. You might say, well, everybody will appear before the judgment. I know that we'll appear before the judgment. But the Bible said, mercy rejoices against judgment. And we being the bride of Christ, our sins have been judged by God through the Word, remitted by the man of God, sent on before us to be judged in mercy. And we as the bride of Christ shall judge the world. Stand there in the great white throne of judgment, Claire, and judge the world. And that's what we're doing. The revelation, which is the brightness of the coming of the Word, is destroying perversion, the man of perdition, with the brightness that is coming, and the bride is getting a judgment, so that in a little while she'll just, like that, she'll be chained and carried away. How many of you know that we'll be chained in the moment, twinkling of an eye? Which means that we must first believe that we're glorified, because we already have it in the Bible. I wish we had a few minutes to go into it. But we must first believe, calling those things that are not as though they are. Because in the mind of Jesus Christ, they're finished. Amen. If you're ever going to be healed, He's done seeing you healed. If you're ever going to be saved, He's done seeing you in the great multitude. If you're ever going to be changed, He's done seeing you in the change. And we must confess what He's already seen, because it's finished, Jesus said. And it's not alive when we believe it, but it comes into power because it's already done. And we call those things that are not as though they are. And Paul said, we believe to see, to make it manifest. We believe justification before we got justification, didn't we? We said we heard the preacher preach it, the word is created. We believed justification, we became justified. We believed that we were sanctified, it was made effective. We believed that God heard our prayers, it was made effective. And the Bible says God predestinated, justified, glorified, sanctified them believers. So then that means we're already glorified. We accept our glorification up here, and it's a head knowledge. But after a while it becomes a conviction of the heart, which is faith knowledge. And when it becomes a conviction of the Spirit, then in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are translated right here, changed in this present world. Somebody said, you mean, Brother Pike, you believe that in this present world right here is where heaven's going to be? Somebody said, don't you know we're going to be caught out of here? I know we're going to be caught out of here, but the Bible said we're going to come back here too, after the tribulation. So it's right here with you, folks. All it takes is believing it in the power. All right, now then, there's so much more that we need to go into here. But I think it would be wise to stop and leave this other part here off, because this other has taken up quite a bit of time, and I believe it would be wise if we left the other off for now. But anyway, we've gotten into some of what Daniel saw here and got some idea about it. We haven't had a thorough explanation of it, but we've had enough to brief it to where we can kind of understand it and know what we're coming to. So then, if you will, let's everybody stand together. I appreciate your kindness tonight. Appreciate your consideration, and certainly tonight I'm not doing this just for my benefit, but I'm trying to do what I can for your benefit. Anytime we preach, anytime we teach, you're welcome to come and talk with us about it. I had a gentleman last night, he came to tell me that I was mistaken and that the revival was not over. And of course I conferred with him about it. He said he knew it wasn't over because he had his biggest ministry coming in. So then I said, all right, if he's got his ministry coming, it's all with me. Let him go on and have his ministry. But as far as what the Lord told me and showed me, the world revival is finished. Whether he thinks he's got a ministry or not, I must say this, I said it to the brother today. I think it's one of the most foolish things in the world for somebody to try to change the whole plans of eternity, everything out of the world, everything God's ever done for 6,000 years because they think they got a ministry coming. I sat in California and cried like a baby when God spoke to my heart and told me the end of the world was here. I wept and almost had a nervous breakdown over it because I had so many plans. And God spoke to my heart and said, what about my plans? Isn't that pitiful? That a man can get in that kind of shape. But that's where I got. That's the kind of shape I've got in. That I thought God was going to change the whole universe around because, as that fellow said last night, he said, I'll have you know, I'll go down here to a place and we'll have 60 to start with, and before we get through, we'll have the building full. Well, then that might be a revival, ain't it? He said, I'll tell you, I don't call a revival people getting saved. He said, a revival to me is when all the gifts is in operation. Well, that's his business. I'm not critical. But I'm just telling you something, folks. God ain't going to change his plan because you got some ideas. If God's told you to do anything, do it. Do it. Do it.
Amen.
Do it.
Praise
you had years ago to do it. Days ago to do it. Weeks ago to do it. Months ago to do it.
That's
do
right.
It. A year from now, you still won't be doing it. Somebody say, well, I ain't got what somebody else has got. God don't require you what somebody else has got.
Amen.
He requires what you got. If you win one soul to God, the angels in heaven will rejoice over it.
Praise the Lord.
If you got, you young folks, some of you might have something to do. I know some of you have because God spoke to me about it. If you got something to do, do it. Do it. Praise God. Today's the day to do it. Amen. You say, I don't understand, Brother Pike. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to. God'll give you a mouth to speak with in the hour you need it. So I just want to tell you that Toby was sitting out, not Toby, Brother Roy, was sitting out there last night, and he can vouch for what I said. The man sat there and talked like God was going to change the whole world around because he had a ministry. Well, if God does, it's okay with me. It's his business. But I'm just telling you, folks, that he ain't going to do it. According to the Lord, he ain't going to do it. Praise God. So then we try to get to rest this tomorrow night. Bow your heads with me. I've already prayed, we'll pray again. Father, tonight we're so grateful for your word and for your power. Lord, for your spirit and for your mind. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we haven't had to scold the people. Lord, through the revival here that we've had, Lord, thus far. Father, with receptive hearts, God, it's been very little scolding. But God, we're thankful for your spirit, for your understanding, and for your power. We ask you to quicken these words to their heart. And Father, help us as questions arise in their hearts to try to do our little bit in satisfying them as best we can. We ask you to bless them in Jesus' name.